Hi, good day everybody. This is Colin Powell from Into Infinity, and today we're going to be looking at a little bit about time and space ratios in fourth dimension. So if you like to learn more about fourth dimensional mathematics, you can go to intoinfinity.com and check it out. But today we're going to be discussing some of the foundations for the equation of why this equation. Some people have said, oh, this equation, you know, why this equation? Why not some other equation for the infinite mathematic? Yeah. So I'll just give you an equation. It's x plus or minus. Yeah, well, plus or minus x divided by plus or minus y. And then we bracket that and we plus or minus y. Actually, it looks like a kind of funny equation because you have plus or minus x and then a line plus minus y, and then you put a plus minus y next to it. It's an xy space, this one. This is what we call zero squared, and it gives us the time function, which is equal in both cases of y, and z is equal to y in this case. If we were to change, say, the plus one for a z, then we get into 0-3 space. But we're just going to deal with 0-2 for the moment, 0 squared. So we can get an idea about how that works. Right, so what we said was we generally perform mathematical functions in zero space on a cross, two number lines, 90 degrees to each other. Works quite well for zero squared. And the reason is, if you think about it, is because, you know, when we do a calculation, you could think that x could be a number that is in the positive, or it could be a number in the negative, and y could be a number in the positive or a number in the negative. So those lines we could call x, y. But instead of doing that, because we're in 4D space, sometimes what we like to do is call it A, B, C, D. Yeah? So we make a cross. Let's draw that. And we'll start with A at the top in the north. North, east will be B. South, C. West will be D. Yeah, make a kind of compass. And that's the reason we do that is because order matters. Remember that in fourth dimensional mathematics. And so when we do calculations on the cross, we want to do simultaneous calculations. We want to simultaneously calculate what is it if I do three, let's say three times one, and then we want to be able to simultaneously calculate what happens if I do one times three. So you don't need to do that in normal mathematics, but in 4D that's what we need, and that's what we use the cross for. And so what happens is we can do typical balancing functions and things like that through that. So anyway, we'll get more into some of that stuff later. But we're going to go through now and just explain why that is, yeah? So let's say that we can have a plus-plus, can't we, yeah? Y can be in a situation of plus-plus, yeah? Y could be in a situation of plus-minus. Y could be a situation in minus-minus. And it could also be in a situation of minus plus then, yeah? We're just looking at y for the moment. So it's this cross represents now the y function, in a sense, yeah, in different states. And that's what we're going to map. We can map that, yeah? And so now let's compare that. So let's say all of those different states can be combined in some kind of way, yeah? So let's say A can be combined with A, B, C, or D. And so you get A, A, B, A, C, A, D. Yeah, those are the combinatory of the X, Y's, aren't they? Yeah, we can go double A, Y, Y, because we've got two Y's in there, haven't we? Yeah. So that's what we're going to use. And if you go into 0-3, it gets a little bit more complicated, but I'm just giving you the basics. So, that's why we can have A, A anyway. Otherwise it would be normally A, Z. Which would be the zero squared constant, and then you get a lot more options on the simultaneous calculation. But in zero squared, it's a little bit simpler, so we'll stick with AA, BB, BB, BC, BD, BA. Yeah, that's another round, isn't it? Yeah, CC, CD, CA, CB. That's another round, and DD, DA, DB, DC. That's another round. All right, four sets there, and each containing four things each. So, for every, if we add those up, that's 4-4, isn't it, yeah? And what we can do is, we're going to bring in our x factor. So, our x factor could be in two states as well, couldn't it? It can be in a plus or a minus, yeah? So we can just add that onto there. It can be plus or minus, yeah? And those are our kind of, if you like, number states, yeah? And so if it's a plus or a minus, then you've got, you can double that 4 into 8. And so now we've got 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, time of eight sets of eight. Yeah, because four for the minus x and four for the plus x for all the a's, four for the minus x, four for the plus x for all the b's, four for the, and so on. Yeah, you got it. Yeah, so 8 plus 8 plus 8 plus 8, and that equals 32. So 32 is a really important number, particularly when it comes, because we've made it through just giving it a positive, a negative function, and I'll explain why. But in the atom, as we watch the atomic shells build, what we notice is that the at each time, like say a shell completes, that the number of electrons is expanding. Yeah, so let's divide it into positive and negative. In the electrons, yeah, so every electron is a kind of opposite, if you like. Yeah, like, or like, I mean, it's a bit of a there's a reason for that. That's the way science has done it, but it's just the way that you have like what they call a positron and an electron at all states. So there's, wherever there's an electron, there is a kind of negative electron. Yeah, and just think of it like that. And so basically, what we're really saying is that the as they go up, they expand through square numbers. So one will turn, well, we have a one negative, one positive. Yeah, in a way, and we add those together and we get two. We get helium. You see, and then when we get the next one, we'll add to that four on one side and a four on the positive, four on the negative, and we get to the next shell, which is the next noble gas, which is neon. Yeah, and it's eight plus the two. Yeah, from before. So you see, that's 10, and we go on like that. We add more and more shells, and it carries on and it constructs the atom in a particular kind of way. And so once that shell completes, it's done. And then the next shell will want to come up and it'll say, right, I want to make an SPD, and I'm going to try and make a D orbital now. So when it does that, it still follows the same pattern, but there's a little kink in the pattern, that's all. So, but the bottom line is that when you look at the electron configuration, and you can go to electron configuration chart and look at this, is that you're only going to have 1 to 32 electrons maximum in a shell. And that's great for fourth-dimensional mathematics, you know, because that's exactly the ratio when we look at the ratio of one calculation x, if you think of it, yeah, provides us with 32 potential outcomes. And so this is how we can start to collapse the Schrödinger equations more easily, because simultaneous equation is a very powerful thing, and we can represent that in a multidimensional space using a computer. And so what we're going to receive then is not just a dry kind of mathematical equation that we have to kind of wrap our head around. We're going to see a shape, and by seeing that shape, you're going to understand a lot more about how the atom works and how it functions. And so look, I'm just giving you a little thing there, a little bit of a breakdown about some of the simultaneous calculations and quantum calculator that you can kind of construct. To construct a proper calculator, you need to produce all 32 results simultaneously from just an X and a Y. Yeah, so that's it, yeah? So then you can say X, Y equals that. And then we've got 32 results that equal the other one. And what you will find is that as you move through the time function, because 32 is a time function, it will give you a number of a degeneration function. Like a kind of how an atom disintegrates, you see. And you'll get this infinity wave, and that will tell you a lot more also about how atoms work and things like that in the periodic table, we think, yeah. Because you've got 81 stable elements, it goes up to 83. And you can put space in as the elemental function, and time can be the electron function. And so we can make translations into that space. That's very, very exciting for quantum physicists, mathematicians and all of that stuff, because it allows us to have a kind of mathematical quantum microscope into numbers that marries with the exact blueprint of the atomic space. So that's me, that's Colin Powell for this week, and I hope you enjoyed that little presentation on fourth dimensional mathematics, and I'm sure that those enthusiasts of fourth dimensional mathematics are going to be busy coding up atomic calculators from now on. And we look forward, if you do have a good result, you know, I'm very busy at the moment, but if you do have a positive result, yeah, share it with us. We'd love to see the fourth dimensional, who's going to be the first to build a fourth dimensional atomic calculator properly using proper code. It'd be fun. Okay, anyway, my name's Colin Powell. Into Infinity, if you want to find out more, is our website. Go to intoinfinity.com. You know, get involved. You know, sign up on the mailing list. All the other stuff. We'd really like to stay connected as we pioneer the fourth dimension, thinking forward into the future. Thank you very much, and all the best, and have a great day.